Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Alan, please, may I welcome you to Homo Sapiens Podcast.
Thank you. You may, and here I am. I'm here, I'm queer, get used to it, and it's going to be a good one, because guess who our guest is today?
Oh, it's Beth Ditto.
Beth Ditto, the lovely Beth Ditto. Funny as hell.
I say this about all our guests, but I mean it. That's why we pick them. She's so, like, warm and kind and funny, and actually, this isn't the first time I met her, but I met her when we went to interview Sam Smith in Los Angeles for this podcast.
Oh.
And she was supporting Sam on tour. Backstage, she was there hanging out and we just had a right old yarn. And she's so, you know, she doesn't realise what a icon and transgressive force of good she has been for such a long time. She's just so normal.
I know, she's such a sweetheart. I met her, I can't remember if I talked about this in the interview, but I met her when we sang at the Toronto Film Festival. At the sort of gala for the American Foundation for AIDS Research. Mm. I was hosting it. Gossip were like the musical guests at the end of the gala. And she said, would I sing something with her? And I was like, oh my God, what would I do? So I suggested, how about we sing Here You Come Again by Dolly Parton. So that's what we did. We sang that together.
That's so cool.
It's so cute.
What I want to say about Beth Ditto, there's two things that strike me about her. One that is fascinating is that we talk about the queer community, and then she actually goes on to say that, in fact, punk and the music scene was a massive community for her way back before social media, and that's how queer people stayed in touch and people who were on the margins. I thought that was absolutely fascinating. That
That was the revelation for me, and that whole the zine thing, that whole zine culture, because you sort of don't normally associate rock and roll and punkiness with queerness so much. It seems a little straighter.
I totally agree.
That's, there you go. Like, perceptions can be wrong, and I feel I think we both feel that we've learned something, and we probably were misplaced in our presumption.
Yeah, and she says this herself. Like, but her boyfriend Teddy is a trans man. She says, like, Teddy's story is his story; it's not hers to tell. But I met Teddy, and
was he there too at the when you went to interview?
Yeah.
Sam.
And he's done amazing stuff online for the trans male community. So it's been really fascinating to follow him on social media and all his journey. I think it was Trans Men Touring is what it was about. It was like, because while they're on tour with their band. So he is also a fascinating person. I think Beth has been someone who has been at the forefront of fashion for a long time. She's done a load of work of changing opinions about what women's bodies should be like. And that's another thing that I love about her.
So let's hear it. Let's listen to the wit and wisdom of Beth Ditto.
I don't know how to turn off the share screen.
Well, hang on a sec. I wanted to have a look at Beth's desktop.
It's not mine.
Oh, is it Teddy's?
You can. If it was mine, it would be comedy. Stupid shit. It would be like, how do you do an impression of Ethel Merman?
Like, when <There's> no
like, but do you know she named her kid Ethel Jr.?
I did not know that Ethel Merman named her kid Ethel Jr., but I just love her all the more for that.
Don't you think that's so beautiful?
Yes. Have you ever heard the Ethel Merman disco album?
No, my very sweet homo friend, he told me about that, actually. And then he also told me, was it Pet Shop Boys and Liza Minnelli?
And Liza's going, the sun comes up, I think about you. A coffee cup. Yeah.
Hold
on. The Ethel Merman, all kind of Ethel Merman-y songs, but to like a raging disco beat in the background. It's
that,
tremendous.
You know what that is? That's my dream record. That's the record I feel like I was meant to make in my life. I want that.
I would definitely take that on my desert island. And the thing is, she didn't, it's not being done sort of retroactively and sort of hipsterly and, you know, by someone now. She did it in the 70s at the height of disco.
Oh,
you're
so
kidding.
Cool.
That's what I was going to ask.
So
was
cool.
It her?
So cool.
Yeah, she really did it, Chris. It's just epic. You know, there's that great story about her. Like, so one night, Judy Garland and Ethel Merman and somebody went drinking and Ethel drank her under the table. And Judy Garland said, "Ethel, I never thought I'd say this, but good night."
No, but I love
it. And there's another one that Elaine Stritch told in her one-woman show about Ethel Merman. She had a sort of a turban on or something. Someone said, "Ethel, well, I really like your turban, slightly catty." And she went, "Fuck off. It makes my face look slimmer." Something like that.
I love that. No, listen, I do. I want, you were talking about being.
Ooh, segue.
Yeah, segue.
That's what you're here for.
It's literally not what I'm here for. But, you know, someone's got to do it. I want to talk to you about your childhood because you've spoken about how, like, MTV was banned and stuff. And it was.
Yeah.
It was quite an unusual upbringing, wasn't it, for a queer kid, right?
Yeah. I grew up in a small town outside of a bigger town, which, when you, you know, I don't know, like, did you say growing up, like, you went to town? Like if you went into this,
yeah.
Yeah, we're going to town.
Yes. I still see that, like up here in the Catskills, I go, we're going to town.
Yeah, yeah, when you're going to grocery shopping. Yeah.
Yeah.
Get your hat, put on your shoes, we're going to town. So when we went to town, we went to Searcy, but I'm actually from Judsonia. And so that's a really small town. But that, Searcy was in a county called White County. White County. And that the county was sort of run by this private Christian college.
Wow.
Yeah. And so you wouldn't know it, but it was actually a college town, but you wouldn't know it because it was so repressed and so religious. And so, so everything, like if you, you know, like we had a bookstore in the '90s, remember it was like coffee shops, bookstores and stuff like that, where like the chains were moving in and stuff like that. And of course, like me and my other weirdo punk, creepy, cool, you know, awesome friends who I, you know, are the reason I'm alive today. But like my other queer feminist friends, punk rockers, were like, oh my God, this is amazing. We can actually go get magazines and whatever. But if you wanted to see, I want to say Mrs. is behind the counter. If you wanted to see Out, if you wanted to see The Advocate, like all of those really cool cultural, like queer magazines or radical magazines were all behind the counter. You had to ask for them. So not only.
Oh, I see. Wow.
Right. And then there was that. And then like, so they, the cable companies were really small. Like you didn't have like whatever it is. Like you didn't have Sky. You didn't have like, what is it called? You know, Xfinity. You didn't have Comcast. You had your tiny local cable company and they just dropped MTV. They dropped MTV and probably 80, I don't know. It's I think I'm a little bit older than MTV, like 6 months older than MTV. Yeah. June 81. And I was born February 81. So then.
And what was the, do you know what was the straw that broke the camel's back and why they did that?
I don't really know. I think it was just too subversive. I think, you know, it was the 80s. So there was Boy George. There was, you know, I think they, did they play Prince? But there was Michael Jackson. There was Cyndi Lauper, Like a Virgin, you know, a really great time in pop culture. A really incredible time.
Yeah.
But at the same time, those were the images that I was like deserted with, you know? So it was like we had MTV for a minute. And then my mom was only 24 when she had me. So it was probably, she was probably 29 when they got rid of it, you know? And so we watched it all the time. And back then there weren't that many videos. So like those were the images that stuck with me of pop culture, which is so cool. Like I'm so grateful for it being that era and not like.
It was a good patch, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a great patch.
So you got your denim jacket and like a Madonna scrunchie and then they turned it off.
Yeah. I was more of a Cyndi Lauper kind of girl because I thought she was way weirder.
She's amazing.
Obsessed with Boy George. I was obsessed with his face. Like I just couldn't. It was such a gay route for me because I just didn't know. It wasn't that I was confused by it. I was just so enamored. I just wanted to look at that face. It's funny.
He is so beautiful. His eyes are absolutely astounding.
I know.
When I met him, you know, and went for drinks, and I was just like, oh my God, like stunning.
You're like, now I get it. Now I get it. Before I was like, what is this bullshit? But now I get it. Yeah. Before I met you, I was like, what's the big deal? And now looking into those eyes.
But like Elizabeth Taylor, you know that thing everyone goes, oh, Elizabeth Taylor, she's got violet eyes.
I try to understand it.
I don't know how to stop it. How do you stop it? I'm on my other computer. It made a pingy noise.
I didn't hear it.
Oh, that's okay. I mean,
nobody cares.
Listen, I've had whole conversations with delivery drivers on this podcast.
Dogs. The dishwasher. The dogs. The planes.
The planes fly over my house.
Shut up. I'm with my friend.
My mum's actually been on this podcast for that reason.
Oh, I wish. Really?
We had to record in the car once because we were late or something. So my mum came back from shopping and she got in the car. My mum is like, I love my mum, but she's definitely like a mum. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so I was like, Mum, do you want to talk? And she was like,
oh, no.
Really nervous in the back. I was like, don't worry, no one's
nervous.
Listening.
Yeah, like it's live on the radio.
My mum's got her new thing is she's got an iPhone for the first time. She's had the other kind before. So we now do FaceTime instead of WhatsApp.
Oh,
She does it. She'll come on and she'll go, I'm calling you from my iPhone. Like that. I go, I know.
Guess what I'm using to talk to you?
Yes. It's my iPhone.
My mum just holds it down by her waist so you can just see up her face. And she walks around
just straight
and I'm
up
like,
won't answer.
Really?
Will she not?
No. She just doesn't. She's just like, not now.
Is she still in Arkansas?
Yeah, they all are. Everybody. Yeah.
So how did you get out, Beth? What was your route out?
My route out, well, I met these kids, these awesome kids. And it's like I always say, like, here's the longest version of the shortest story. I always say that, like, I met these kids at the right time because I was this young person. I was, like, maybe 13 and living in a smaller town outside of the bigger town, which is 40,000 people or 15,000 people town. And they were going to the other school and randomly this person came into my life from a friend of a friend and she still is in Arkansas now, but she introduced me to these three really important people. One of them was Nathan, who was in Gossip with me. Then one of them was Kathy, who was the first drummer in Gossip. And my other one was my best friend, Jerry. And Jerry and I were both queer. And we were all really into Riot Girl and feminism and like really like just like remember also we all came from this really repressed like religious place. So the way that we stumbled onto each other, I mean it makes sense on one hand that like, you know, the weirdos grouped together, but at the same time it's just like it's amazing that we even found each other and had this, you know, the strength to just be who we were naturally. And I don't mean just gay, but I mean like fucking weird. We were weirdos. Like my friend Jerry, like used to, I mean, everyone thought I was weird because I had short hair, you know, they're like, whoa, what is this? Like it was like a big thing. And, because of them, you know, there was a Riot Girl movement in, Olympia, Washington, which is, you know, that's like one of the scenes that really influenced people like Kurt Cobain, you know, because grunge was so big. This is the 90s. We were listening to music and like those people were getting it, you know, like Kurt Cobain was always talking about the raincoats and the Vaselines and with like Bikini Kill. And like, we were listening to all these girl bands and stuff. And from that, we just kind of dug through and dug deeper to get more information about these really cool bands and this really cool scene. And so when it came time for Kathy to go to college, she's 3 years older than me. She chose to go to Olympia, which is a no grades college. I never went to college, so I don't understand college.
What does that mean? Like, no grades.
There's no grades. You just pick your own major. You can make up your own major, I think. But then we moved up there to go. She went to that college. We just wanted to get as far away as we could. And Kathy.
You went there to live there with her?
I went there with.
And she went to college.
All four of us moved. We all moved.
Oh, I see.
And we were all like boop, 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 like years behind each other. So we right. all.
How old were you?
I was 18. So I was like, they were like, Kathy was like, I got a credit card. Because, you know, when you turn 18, people just send you credit card applications. And she was like, I got a credit card. I'm on the phone with the airline. You know, I'm going to get on the phone with the airline. I'm going to buy your ticket. And we'll give you a one-way ticket. That way, that's cheaper. And if you can work and you can buy your ticket to go back home. And so I was like, okay. And all three of my best friends were already gone. It was shattering because he was my only gay friend. I had a high school boyfriend at the time. And like, I cannot tell you how many times I broke up with him because I was gay. Like, told him. I was like, I can't I was like, I don't know if I can do this. And he'd be like, it's okay. But he'd always take me back. And I don't know. But, I mean, from 16 to 18, we dated. 16, 17, 18, 3 years. Anyway, so we moved up there. You know, when they first moved up there, they slept in her dorm room. They called it the nest. And there was a loft. And then there was just a pile of clothes and blankets. And that's where my friend Jerry slept. And then Nathan and Kathy would sleep in the bed. And so when I moved up there, or like I was coming to visit, they were like, we got to get a bigger house. So they got a house with like three other people. And this is a 2-bedroom house. So yeah, you remember those days, like punk houses? Like it was a, you know, like there was a mattress that like closed the, like from the dining room to the living room, like it closed that off so that like there was like this space that you could walk through, but that was a bedroom. Yeah. And then me and Jerry, our bedroom was the living room. So we shared a fold out couch in the living room. So, and I worked it up, you know, I worked at a hot dog place in the mall. I mean, I'd never been on a city bus. I'd never seen a city bus before. I was living. I was like, this is the best. And my mother told me, she didn't drive me to the airport. My mom's very like emotional and she's very strong. She doesn't like to show it. I mean, she's very funny and very loving, but she said, you're going to get up there, you know, and you're going to lock it and you're not going to come back. And I was like, Mom, that's crazy. Oh. I was like, Mom, don't be crazy. And she's like, nope, not emotional, not a guilt trip or anything. She just called it. And I was like, Mom.
But did you have like all your, did you know that? Did you have loads and loads of your stuff or are you just going for like
a
weekend?
No, I had a suitcase and I was going. I mean, Olympia and Arkansas are thousands of miles away from each other.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, I was just, I had my suitcase. I had $300 and I gave Kathy $200 of it to pay back for part of my ticket. And then I had $100 to live on. And then I got a job immediately. Wow. It was awesome. It was so fun. And then that's when gossip started, like maybe 2 months later. And then the rest is history. Yeah. And then we were, you know, we would practice in the basement. And what happened was Kathy and Nathan were actually like playing music and they were much cooler than me. Like I was, you know, I was just a short, fat kid and like nice to everybody. Like, I didn't understand, you know, there is a thing in the South where people are like, hi, how you doing? What you doing? Where are you going? What's your mama's name? You know, how's she doing?
Yeah.
There's a real interest in people. And I did not get what people's problem was, you know, when I moved to the North. It's funny because I was like, okay, just stick up your ass, I guess. Like, I don't know. But like, you'd wave and people wouldn't wave back and you'd be like, oh, okay. Or you'd talk to somebody at a party and the next time you saw them in the street, they would just put their head down and keep walking. And I was like, I'm sorry. Wow. Like, excuse me, your highness. Like, I didn't know, you know, but like, it took me a long time to understand that.
How did you, because obviously gossip was friends and it was like community and all of that. Yeah. But how, when you got really big, did you adapt to the music industry, which is so one of those industries where people pretend not to know each other and all that weirdness? How did you keep?
I treat everybody like I know them because I think I do. Like, I'll be like, hi. Hi, Jeff Daniels. I don't know. What's up, Jeff Goldblum? No, I think there are very few people that intimidate me because my mom used to say her whole thing was like, they can't kill you and eat you, and we all shit out of the same hole. You know? So, like, as far as we know, exactly. Some people don't. Some people say they don't shit at all. I don't believe them. the music industry, I feel really lucky, but also maybe I'm naive. I don't know. But, like, when we first got into music, we were on a punk label that I admired, and I, you know, Kill Rock Stars, and I just loved every band that was on that label, and so did Nathan and Kathy. And like, we were so in the right place at the right time. I cannot even explain it. I don't know how it happened. All I know is like, I met these kids. They changed my life. They introduced me to cool stuff. We in the middle of shit show Arkansas, and then like we move, you know, at different times. I didn't know what Olympia was. I knew it was the capital of Washington, but I didn't know its entire history, this punk rock history, its music scene at all. I was not that cool. And then all of a sudden it was just like, we were in the UK. And it was, you know, and here's the other thing about going to the UK. I was 19, wasted the whole time because I'd never, you know, not wasted, but pretty legally drunk. And I didn't know what a passport was. And the people that were putting on the tour, the sponsoring the tour, were like, you've got to get your passport. I was like, I'm not going to get a passport. It's crazy. And then I was like, "That's I don't even know what it is." And then I know, I'm like, oh, I just did not know. I was very podunk. Wow. And I didn't, when I got there, I was like, there's different money here? No idea. Right. No idea.
Well, you're in a band. Other people pay, right? Just make the label pay.
Not then, not that label.
You were on a little nice label.
We were on a really nice label, but then, you know, we toured around the UK for Ladyfest. That's why we came over there. We went over there for Ladyfest, which is this feminist little tiny punk rock music festival. And that's who brought us over. The first time we ever went to the UK was all like DIY feminist punk rock kids.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
But where did that side of you come from? Ever since the beginning, you've been an activist, you've been a feminist, is that in your family? Do you call shit out, or is that you reacting to your...
It's so hard to talk to people because I'm just like, what about yours? Like, I want to know. I'm like, tell me about your mom.
Well, my mom's...
What's your birthday?
11th of May.
Taurus?
Taurus.
Yeah. What are you?
Gemini.
I'm a Pisces, February. Okay. Alan, wait, what are you again?
Yeah, I'm here too, everybody. Hello.
We were coming to you, Alan.
No one even knows who you are. I think we did this. Sagittarius?
No, nearly though. Aquarius.
No way.
What?
Just because I don't know many Aquariuses. Aquarii.
I think Aquarius and Gemini get along really well. I think it's a splendid, heated love affair.
Beth, that's what it says on the website.
What are you looking at? Beth Ditto's astrologypage.org.
I would read your astrology.
Y'all,
absolutely.
Y'all are in trouble now. The shit just hit the fan. That's
you fine. Know what, Beth? When I was 16, I wrote the horoscopes for a newspaper in Scotland. Seriously.
Did.
Straight up.
Not.
Yeah. I used to make them up, and it was called the Dundee Evening Telegraph.
They were like, working, Alan was
I was
right.
In this publishing company.
Alan was right.
But I was very conscientious. I would always think it would be a little old lady with her cats. I would never say things like, a love affair is about to happen. I would always say things like, maybe you should clean your closets. You know, things like that.
Maybe today is the day your cat will die. I'm sorry, Nathan.
I wonder how many decisions you influenced.
I know. I wonder how many closets were cleaned because of me. And also things like, Saturn is returning. Perhaps this is not the best time to buy new furniture. I would do things like that. I'd make it very generic to sort of different ages.
Don't buy new furniture.
And I would always laugh.
Whatever you do.
Yes.
I love the shift in astrology. Because, the Dyke scene, we love a good star sign. We love a witch.
Right.
Portland, you can't not sling a dead cat without hitting a fucking witch around here. Let me tell you that. Everybody's a witch. All of a sudden people are like, I'm not kidding. Like, you'll be like, since when was Sally a witch? Like, everyone's a witch. I'm not, like, everyone's...
They're like, Sally can hear you. She's a witch.
I know. Oh, yeah, that's the other thing. Everyone's psychic. And I'm like, what am I thinking? And all they have to do is be like, you're thinking I'm not a psychic. And I'd be like, oh my God. That's the trick. So if you tell someone psychic and they say, what am I thinking? You'd be like, you're doubting me.
Oh, that's
and
great.
And then be like, oh my God. She knew it.
That's great.
You're welcome.
Gosh, really I didn't good. Know that was a gay thing to be a witch or into star signs.
Oh, no. Dyke.
Okay, yes. Fine.
The lesbians love.
It's lesbionic.
just can you look at people who people are friends with on Instagram?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do that to mine. You will be like, she knows a lot of witches.
Really?
So many. I'm telling you, everyone's starting, you know, tarot business, half off. Like, you're just like, everyone's into astrology here.
I've been to Portland just once, years and years and years and years and years ago, when I was promoting my book. And I went to that amazing bookshop that's a whole block.
Powell's
bookstore. Mm-hmm. And I've still got a t-shirt with it on. I love that book so much. Like, in the line, when people were coming up to get me to sign my book, this lady just went, here's a joint, Alan. I was like, thank you so much.
You're like,
she just brought me drugs, food.
You think you were like, maybe that. They are psychic.
Yes. And then my friend Trey took me out, and there's more strip bars per capita in Portland, Oregon, than churches.
Yeah.
And also the money from the slot machines, I don't know if it does still, but in those days, the money from the slot machines, the profits would go to education.
Yeah.
From the slot machines. So isn't that great?
Yeah.
Anyway, I learned a really good thing there, and I saw an incredible thing I've never... And we went to this gay strip bar.
Yeah.
I saw the stripper man. And they were naked as well, the stripper man. And he had this strange penis. And I got chatting to him, and it was all bumpy, his penis. Because what he did was he got pearls, and he would like slice a little bit of skin on his penis, put a pearl inside and make it heal, Whoa. Make the skin heal over it. So basically, all around his penis were these pearls. He had a bumpy penis. And he said, because he was straight as well, like a lot of these boys who work in gay bars, they're all straight. And he said to me, he went, yeah, It's ribbed for her pleasure. That's what he said. And then I said, can I touch it? And he went, I'm not supposed to let you, but I will. So he let me touch it. Had a little feel of it. So it's really weird, like a penis with these knobbly bits all over it.
You know, I have to say, welcome to Portland.
Welcome to Portland. Totally. Totally. The other thing I learned, Trey taught me, which is, this is a funny thing, is that you get a... So when there's, you know, dancers and go-go boys and girls and everything like that, and I've done this, it works a treat. And especially if it's like a stage, you get a dollar and you fold it in half long ways and you put it along the bridge of your nose and you put your head on the floor of the stage like that, and they're above you and they squat down and they lift
their
dollar
cheeks.
With their butt cheeks. They lift the dollar off your nose and you get...
Wow.
Can you imagine? It's like a little moment of incredible intimacy.
This is from that birthday party you had at Disneyland, Alan.
Yeah, Mickey Mouse sat on my face. No, he didn't. He didn't.
No, he didn't.
Everybody's got their prize. You're talking about your Instagram. I wanted to ask you, because you follow someone I love, Ooh. Which is Scotty. Scotty is fat.
Yes! Scotty!
Do you know Scotty?
Yeah, of course. He's a fat activist, homo. He's fantastic. Precious, precious. But yeah, me and Scotty are friends. The thing is, most of my closest friends live in the UK.
Oh, do
really?
They?
Yeah.
You were here for a long time, right?
I have an apartment there.
Do you?
I don't own it, but I rent a room in an apartment with my friend Andrew.
The thing about Scotty, one I wanted to ask you about Scotty, is that, like, so Scotty is an activist. Some people might call him a body positivity activist, but am I right in saying that he hates that title?
He's a fat activist, yeah.
Because I feel like people always spoke to you about that stuff, and then, like, since forever, and do you feel like now it's opened up and it's actually changed in a brilliant way?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, when I was 18 and 19, I mean, like, the Enemy cover, the Naked, first Naked cover was, like...
Oh, yeah.
I think 2007? So I was, like, 26. You know, I mean, there were people like Sue Tilly, you know, who were like, yes. You know, and like a lot of other people like Deborah Dial from Romeo Void. Like, there were people like, you know, but they were so few and far between. Mm. It was such a different atmosphere. I mean, it was like the internet wasn't, you know, social media wasn't like this booming thing yet. And then, yeah, it's just like really, it's really changed. It's really cool.
Do you feel you had to make bigger, because of that, you had to make a bigger splash with things, like when you wanted to sort of change the narrative?
You just had to be really open. Like, I want to say, you know, people are like, you must have thick skin. I was like, not really. There are people whose opinions I value, and there are people's opinions that I don't. And the other thing is like, I think when you are an activist, or you are someone who's been marginalized, you are so used to, or like, I'm not saying they're the same, being marginalized or being an activist or being fat, but I'm saying, like, when you are used to being treated other than, different than, lesser than, like, what it taught me was a level of just, like, I can't, like, it's always this thing, I can't control what you think of me. What you think of me is none of my business. You know, it's like, what you say about me is none of my business, but I can control myself. I can control me. And, like, that was always my thing. And to surround myself with people who make me feel good and not the people who make me feel like shit. So that's kind of how I navigated that era, because people weren't nice, and they're still not nice. I mean, if you look at, like, so many people. Yeah, I mean, people are really kind, of course. Like, you know, fans. It feels so weird to say that word about yourself, doesn't it? My fans, my adoring fans. It's so weird. But, like, you know, people who, like, liked the band you were in. But, like, for the most part, it's just, like when there are people who's like, for one, they're afraid of themselves. You have to have a little empathy.
There was no way to unite those voices then, was there? You know, so I felt like it was all on you. It was all on you to represent, rather than you could be in a community with Scotty and people who...
Well, there was the punk scene. Mm-hmm. In fact, positivity for me came from feminism, radical feminist punk rock. Right. You know, Riot Girl was a really big part of my life. And that was one of the things, was queer culture, fat positivity, not just body positivity, but fat positivity. Like, those things were introduced to me from feminist punk rock, the feminist punk rock scene. So we had a scene, you know, there's a whole world that existed. I don't think pop culture realizes that was snail mail, friend books. We would make zines and send them to each other, you know, all across the world and, like, across the country. And so, like, you would make a friend book so that you could stay in contact with people. When you sent your zine, you would make, or when people sent you a zine, they would send you a book, little booklet that they had made, and they would have names and addresses in there and emails, and, you know, when they were so nice. in its infancy. And then you would send it on to the next person with this, you know, with the zine or whatever, and then they would add their name, and you would take down the names in the friend book, and then you would build this community through snail mail like that.
Wow.
And then that connected the queers and the punks, and, like, so that's how a scene used to be built. You used to book entire tours that way.
Really?
Yeah. Because you couldn't talk on the phone. It was so expensive. And the whole idea, like, you used to take stamps and use a glue stick.
What, to recycle it?
Yeah, so you didn't have the money for the stamp. So you would put this glue stick over the top of the stamp so that when they marked it, it would just wash off. And you could reuse the stamp. And, like, that was, like, I mean, that was the kind of culture that was around when I was a kid. So, like, when a teenager, and so that's the way that we actually did have a little community and a scene, but it wasn't huge. You know, there was no no mass exposure to it, because it was all quite underground. Mm-hmm. Like, it really was an underground scene and really cool.
What was it like then when you went to Britain and it all exploded and suddenly you were, you know, your community was huge, I suppose.
I guess, I wouldn't say the community. Well, for one, when we went to Britain, I was meeting people that I had been talking to online, you know, because the message boards were the thing back then, right? So
yes.
I'd been meeting people that, you know, that you'd been corresponding with or had been in the friend books or been sending zines with other people. But I wouldn't say, like, it didn't feel... The first time it was very punk. The first couple times, like, we were sleeping on floors and, you know, you know, things like that, and playing at people's houses, you know, but, like, which was awesome. But it was really crazy to be the topic of conversations in magazines or, you know, things like that. Like, people really, you know what I mean? Like, people really feel so free to, it gave me empathy for people who get attention, because I, you know, being a snot-nosed punk, I remember, like, one time, the last time I saw Kate Moss, she said, oh, you said some bad things about me before. And I was like, no, I didn't. And I was like, oh, yeah. Yeah. Because I was this fat activist in a punk scene that can feel that's very protective and very judgmental. And so it can feel like a little, you know, and I was like, yeah, because I didn't know. The thing is, like, it gives you this whole insight into a world that you never would have thought happened unless you'd kind of been there before. The internet is different because you can just be like, now it's different. You can have 400,000 followers, but back then you didn't have that kind of thing. So you were in a magazine, you were just this one dimensional photo on a piece of paper that lived somewhere that you would never find, that you would probably never run into or have a conversation with. But now that's different because you can have a conversation with anyone, really. Mm. So like, and you can open yourself up to so many people and opinions and thoughts. But it really made me think. I was just like, yeah, like we don't know anything about anybody, you know, not a damn thing, like no matter how famous they are.
Beth, the other thing I wanted to ask you about was you said something in an interview, which I thought was really lovely, that like Teddy really educated you about straight privilege and how, you know, because both you and Alan have been married to men and women, but you have therefore oscillated between...
But not at the same time.
You had to learn that.
I did learn a lot because like being with him in public, people do, you forget, right? Like you forget that you're queer. It's your normal. So you're walking around. I mean, not always, you don't always forget, but boy, like you forget like what it's like to be straight and people to treat you like a straight person. And you're like, oh wow, this is like instant ease or something.
Really?
Like, but even though it's not, because there's a level of like, well, not instant ease, like you don't feel easy because there's different situations when you're dating somebody who's trans, openly trans, like you have to think about with them. And I mean, I don't like to talk about his experience because I can't, but not can't, but don't, you know, it's not my place.
It's
but,
his, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so I will say that like, wow, straight privilege is real. It's wild. And but, you know, like we were in the plane one time and we had just gotten together and we were coming back from Florence because he was like, I've always just wanted to go to Florence because he studied art history. I don't know, college fix something, the Medici. Yeah. And I was just like, cool, show me the Statue of David. And so
let's get this over and done with.
Yeah, come on, hurry up, guys. It was actually really amazing. We went to Florence and we did all these, you know, we did so much like tourism stuff and we looked at all this art and it was great and he knew all about it and it was really cool. But, you know, on the way plane home from that, because we'd had this beautiful trip and it was so romantic and it was so like eye-opening and great and we were frolicking and it was post, you know, and like they were just like, you two seem to be celebrating something. Like, you know, like giving us the look of like, huh? And I was like, yes. I don't remember exactly what you said, but they were like, we're going to bring you a whole bottle of champagne. They brought us an entire bottle of booze. Okay. And I was like, I tell you right now, that never would have happened if I was with my ex-wife. No. I mean, we used to get a lot of, you know what I mean? Like, because both of our names, because I took her last name, is Ogata. And so I used to get a lot of Mrs. Ogata. And she, we looked very different. And they would be like, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's what you think.
It's the same sex, you know? Union.
So like, is this your adopted sister? No. We also used to get stopped with getting on the first class line, and people would be like, this is the first class only line. And you'd be like,
no.
What, do I look that bad? You're like,
I get that still.
Like, yeah, you're like, what is this, 1960s Pan Am flight? I'm sorry.
Yeah, and I love it on... I'm on Delta. I think it seems such a long time ago now that I love Delta.
Me too. I'm a 360 diamond on Delta, I'll have you know. I don't want to brag, but I will.
360 diamonds. Yes. Excuse me, lady.
That's another thing is I'll get a lot. One time I went into the lounge and they were like, we've never seen a woman 360 diamond. And I was like,
oh my God.
I was like, you're looking at one.
You're
now.
Looking at
she
one.
She is.
Today's the day, baby.
I got platinum Delta. And I was just like, look at me. And then they said, and now try and get diamond. I was like,
oh, there's always another rung.
I know. And then I got diamond. There's another one.
What?
Shut up.
That's the 360. That's the 360.
Oh, 360 diamond.
Well, do they do black diamond as well?
They have like, I'm a cubic zirconia.
Bite me.
Beth Ditto, it's been absolutely charming to talk to you again and see you.
Oh,
and I can't wait to come to Portland
nice to
and see you in your habitat.
Next time you come to Portland, almost nude again.
Wonder if we'll see the man with the pearls in his penis. He'll be old now, I suppose. That was like 20 years ago.
Listen, now the pearls are on the outside.
Beth, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Lovely Beth.
A laugh a minute, a bit of wisdom a minute.
I love the kind of idea that you just go and move in with your friend who's going to college and you're all sleeping in a room and have a sort of a, like a fort. A little fort in someone's bedroom.
She's very fearless, isn't she?
Yeah.
Just does it.
Balls of steel.
Yeah.
So let us know what you thought about Beth, and if you've got any other memories of her, or just talk to us in general, you can email us at hello@homosapienspodcast.com.
Or you can get in touch on our direct messages at Homo Sapiens on Instagram, at Homo Sapiens Podcast on Facebook, or you can write us a letter via pigeon should you wish to.
And we will be back next week.
All of your letters shall be discussed, dissected and applauded on Homo Sapiens Extra next week.
Also, I forgot, you could go to Apple Podcasts and hopefully you'll subscribe to us or tell your friends and you can leave a review. And if you leave a review, you might win a T-shirt because we choose the one that we think is the most apposite and fitting for that week's show. And we give you a free T-shirt, which Chris will send, wrap up with his bare hands and send to you. Or you could buy a T-shirt or a sweatshirt if you liked. They're very nice. And I actually wear them myself. I put my money where my mouth is.
Well, he knows someone at the podcast. So...
I'm going to give it a go and try and get the email at the website address correct. You ready?
Ready.
It is.
Do you want a drum roll?
Yeah, would you give me a drum roll? Go to everpress.com/homosapiens.
Bing, bing.
Nailed
well
it.
Well done.
Or alancumming.com/shop.
Absolutely. Please. Listeners, if that hasn't sated you, I can't help you. We can give you another episode next week. So we'll see you then.
Take care. Brush your hair.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Powered by Spirit Studios.